We didn't come last year. We went up to Michigan. Michigan is 1,000 miles farther than Caldwell, Kansas. And it is, literally. And we went up there, needful, head up there, hadn't been there in a number of years. And then we made 2 more trips, I think, since then. We are thankful to be here with you all in the services. I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I guess I'll start at verse 1. It's not really a good starting point in this scripture. Was this microphone always here? Was it really? Okay.
You don't like it?
Well, it's got a shadow over the words of my Bible. Can I move it back? And my wife wants me to move it like this. Okay. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone disallowed, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He also is livelier living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I want to speak from verse 9 on the subject of the excellencies of Christ. So I understand it, this may be rendered that ye should show forth the excellencies of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's basically my outline, is that phrase. I want to deal with the excellencies of Christ. The Bible tells us in Psalm 150 and verse 2, "Praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness." And our God is exceedingly great. Amen. The Bible declares unto us here one of his excellencies, one of his greatnesses that he is worthy to be praised for. There are a number of them. I believe God's chief work and greatest work is that he saves sinners. I believe that trumps all of his work. I know a lot of people like creation. Salvation is greater than that. And so we find here that the Bible tells us these things. And I'd like to note, first of all, that God hath called us out of darkness. And I want to look at darkness and what kind of darkness it was. Because it was not an ordinary darkness. The Bible speaks of this darkness, and the word darkness is used. It's emblematic of all that is wicked. All that is ungodly and evil and wrong and sinful, everything that is in opposition to God is represented here by darkness. And the Bible tells us that we've been called out of that. Well, if we were called out of that, that means that's where we were. And perhaps some of you are in darkness this very hour. And the Bible describes this darkness. And I would, if you would bear with me and follow along with me, I want to run several references at this time and turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Because I think these different verses begin to describe the, if you would, the depth of darkness that we were in. And I remember one of the you go into a room and maybe the lighting's dim, you know, and it's hard to see. Like I said, I got a shadow over this. I didn't see. I need a lot of light. I know I'm 31, but I need a lot of light to read and to see things. And you know, you go in a place and it's dim. We weren't in a dim place. It doesn't say that He called us out of a dim place. He called us out of darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. There was no light where we were. And the Bible says in John 1 and verse 5, and again this describes the depth of our darkness, it says, "And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You see, you go into a dark place, you're in a dark room, my children, they love to shut the lights off and get their lightsabers and flashlights and to shine things on the ceiling. And they love that, but they see, they comprehend the light. You come in the room and you hit the light switch on and they both complain, "Turn the light off." Well, the Bible says that we're in such darkness that light shines in it and we don't even comprehend it. Because we are, as the Bible says, we're blind. The God of this world hath blinded us. Our sin has blinded us. That is the depth of the darkness that you and I were in, and if you're here and without Christ, you're still in it. And you're either in darkness or you're in light. There is no in between. Now God might be bringing you out of darkness, but you're still in it until you're in the light. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, in verse 19, it tells us, you're familiar with this scripture, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." I loved darkness. That's the depth of it. We loved it. It wasn't that it was just so dark that we couldn't comprehend the light. It was that we loved it. And even when we first began, when God by His grace, and we were able by His grace to begin to comprehend the light, we still loved the darkness. And so this again shows the depth of it. And the Bible continues. If you would, Matthew chapter 6, if you look there with me. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 23. Here the Bible speaks of these things, and I've spoken to the eye doctor regarding this, and they've explained some things to me about how the eye works and different things. But notice here, particularly in the last phrase, I'll read the whole verse. "But if thine eye be evil," and sinner, your eye is evil. And it says, "If thy whole body shall be full of darkness, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" We didn't sit. We were in great darkness. It was not a little bit of darkness. Again, it was not dim, was it? Then over in Matthew 4, you'll find here that Christ is fulfilling a prophecy. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, it says, "And leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now notice, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. So, this darkness was so great, and we were such in love with it, that we sat down. Sitting down implies that you've been there a long time. Sitting down implies that you had a desire to be there. You go to somebody's house to visit, you don't want to stay there long, you don't sit down. We sat down in the darkness, didn't we? In fact, I don't even know if we ever walked in there. We were born sitting down in darkness, weren't we? And so this is the place that the Bible says, Romans 1 and verse 21 speaks of the darkness of the heart. The depth of our darkness, the Bible declares in 2 Corinthians 6:14, that there is no communion between darkness and light. We had no communion with the light. We didn't communicate with God. We weren't friends with God. We were at enmity with Him. Bible talks about, and I've been in a cave over in Hannibal, Missouri, much like you were, and they shut the lights off. And the Bible talks about Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21 that God plagued Egypt with darkness that they could feel. And you can feel that darkness. And until God arrests you and makes you aware, you begin to feel the darkness that's around you. And it is a darkness of death. It is like, you know, we talk about the grave and people who, you know, some people have been buried alive and things are closing in on them. And when God begins to work on you, you begin to find and feel and sense and see the darkness that you are in. You begin to see that you're wicked and vile and wretched, abominable, filled with iniquity. But you know, God just doesn't leave us there, does He? God doesn't just have us to discover or bring to our minds and our hearts and say, look at where you're at. No, this darkness is so very, very far away from the light. But again, God does not leave us there. The Bible says, and you can look again if you would back in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says that ye should show forth the praises or the excellencies of Him who hath called you out of darkness. He's called us out of the darkness. He's called us out of every abominable thing, every iniquitous thing, everything that is vile and wretched. He has called us out of it, hasn't He? And I identify with Paul, who said, the things that I would do, I do not. The things that I would not, I do. Oh, I understand that. But I tell you, the desire's changed, isn't it? I don't love darkness anymore. But the Bible tells us here, and I want to emphasize the fact that God calls us. We take the children and we try to train them up and we say to them, say, when you hear your name called, I want you to say, coming, and then I want you to come to Me. And we practice with them, and we give them their favorite toy, and we'll call their name, and we expect them to come to us. I do not go into the room, now I've had to do it in training them, but I don't go into the room and drag them out. By golly, when I call my sons, they're willing to come, aren't they? See, God doesn't drag us anywhere. He changes us, doesn't He?
Amen.
And when God changes you, when He does a work, you come to Him willingly.
Amen.
I tell you, that's power, isn't it? I remember in law enforcement, I could physically put someone into handcuffs. I could make them do things by pushing on certain pressure points, but they were not willing, were they? But God Almighty is able to make me willing to come out of the darkness and into His light, just like He did Lazarus when He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And what did He do? He came forth, didn't He? Christ didn't go into the tomb and drag Him out, prop Him up. No, He's even more powerful than that. Now, just as God spoke light into existence, He calls us out of darkness, doesn't He? He calls us. God is still calling people out of darkness today. The Bible tells us that God does this, and He does it in a most peculiar and particular way. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, that it is by the foolishness of preaching that God is pleased to call men out of darkness into His light. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible declares unto us, and go ahead and turn over to Hebrews, if you would, chapter 3. And you notice the words here. I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. If you want to argue, you can argue with yourself. But in Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible tells us in verse 7, Paul is giving them a history lesson, so to speak. And he says, listen, in verse 7, "Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if ye will hear His voice." And if you're here and without Christ, and you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, but adhere, listen, and follow His voice. What does Jesus say? He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He says, "Come to Me." We turn as well and we read in verse 15, while it is said, "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts," as in the provocation. And we find this over and over again, that the Bible speaks of hearing God, doesn't it? And if God can make the deaf hear, He can make a lost sinner hear, can't He?
That's right.
He's the only one. Look over in Hebrews chapter 1. You know, God's voice is not as it once was. God no longer appears in visions and dreams. He no longer comes to men as He once did, as we saw there with Jacob, how he wrestled. God doesn't do that. That's done and over, isn't it? The Bible tells us here in Hebrews chapter 1, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." Bible tells us He used to give them visions. They would speak. He used to appear. He appeared to Moses. He appeared to Abraham. All these things. And then in verse 2, "Notice hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." God speaks today through His Word, the living Word being Christ, the written Word being the Bible.
Right.
And He uses that, what we preach and teach, to call sinners out of darkness in the light. This is how God calls people. He's been doing it this way for thousands of years. It is the most successful way of calling sinners out of darkness and into His light. Because everyone that He's called this way has come into His light. The Bible tells us as well, if you look over into Romans 10, we alluded and referenced Romans 10, 17. I'd like to look at some other verses here in Romans chapter 10. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 and verse 8, Paul speaking here, he says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." Paul is saying here, the word of faith which we preach is what God uses to call men out of darkness, isn't it? And he continues on that if thou shalt confess thy mouth that the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the message to preach, isn't it? That's what we're to declare. That my sons and my daughter and others who are here without Christ, that they might be saved, isn't it? The Bible tells us that this calling of God. Look over at Acts chapter 26. And notice what Paul has to say. Here's Paul and he's before King Agrippa. And again, we're looking at the darkness and what I want to show you about the excellencies of Christ is look at how great the darkness is and yet Christ conquered it, didn't he? Yeah. Now I want you to see in how he calls us. The Bible says in Acts chapter 26 verse 15, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Now notice, unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light." You know what God uses? This is the excellency of Christ. You know what He uses to call sinners out of darkness into light? He took one who persecuted His church and He saved him, and then He sent him forth to go and call other sinners out of darkness into light. Amen. That's the excellencies of Christ. And He took me, and He took you, and He's taken all of us who are saved. We were sinners, we were enemies of God, and He saved us, and then He sent us forth, didn't He? We who were once His enemies are now His biggest promoters. That's the excellencies of Christ. Paul says about his experience with Christ, he says, "All He sent me to turn them from darkness to light." Brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you who are members of the Lord's New Testament church, that is our duty, isn't it? We are to go out and to preach the Word of God, to use the Word of God, to present it to them that they might see themselves undone and in need of Christ. To lay forth the best argument that we can of their need of Jesus. The Gospel of Luke records that Christ sent a servant out. In His parable, He sent a servant out and He said, "I want you to go out into the highways and the hedges and I want you to compel them to come in." I don't have the ability to compel anybody to do anything. And yet, because of Christ, sinners come out of darkness into light. It is amazing that God has done what He has done with the people He has to use. It really is, isn't it? You think about how cowardly we are. You think about the bigotry of Simon Peter. You think about Simon Peter and how he said, "Lord, I'll never deny You." The very first thing he did was deny Him, wasn't it? And yet He sent Simon Peter, who didn't really want to go. He sent him to Cornelius. He overcame Simon Peter. And then He saved Cornelius and the whole house, didn't He? That's the excellencies of Christ. So we find that this is observed not only in the depth of the darkness that Christ overcomes, but how He overcomes it. God uses means, doesn't He? The Lord's church is His means of spreading the gospel. It's His means of getting sinners, if you would. It is through His church that the gospel is clear. We're the only ones sent out to preach it. He didn't send anybody else, did He? He told us to go forth and preach the gospel unto every creature. You think about how Christ started, and really he didn't have anything. And then He had a bunch of disciples, and then they left Him all. And then He had 11, and they all left Him, the Bible tells us. One of them even betrayed Him, one of the 12. And then it tells us that when He ascended up on high, they all stood around like a bunch of, they're just standing there doing nothing. And yet here we are today. See, Christ is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. This darkness, the Bible tells us, I remember my father, he always said, God never saves a person in their sins, He saves them from their sins. He's not going to leave you in there. Psalm 40 and verse 2 says that He took us out of the pit. He didn't put us in another pit. He set our feet upon a rock and He established our goings, didn't He? And so the Bible shows us that He has called us out of darkness. It shows us how that He calls us through the foolishness of preaching, which is unto the Jews a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks it's foolishness. Christ is the preaching of Christ is. And it tells us here in these verses the darkness. And again, you can look in John chapter 11. There when He called out Lazarus from the tomb. He called him out of it, didn't He? The grave is not a place for them that are alive. Sin is not a place for you and I who are saved. I remember my grandfather, he used to say, when God saves a drunkard, they change hitching posts. They no longer hitch up at the bar, they hitch their wagon up at the church. Amen. But people today would have you and I to believe that I'm saved and yet I can still drink, I can still smoke, I can still gamble, I can still cuss, I can still do everything the world does, and yet I'm out of darkness. My friend, you're still in darkness. Unbelievable, isn't it? He calls us out of darkness. There's a whole lot of other things I didn't mention that people do and they profess to be saved. Scripture is very adamant. If you'll turn over to 1 John chapter 1. I didn't look to see what time I started because Brother Jerry had me all riled up. But in verse 5 of 1 John chapter 1, Scripture is adamant. It's very clear and very plain. And the Bible says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him. John says, we have heard this from God. Notice what he says. And declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light and He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Scripture is pretty plain and clear and adamant that He called us out of darkness. I heard somebody say, they said, God's got you right where He wants you. I said, really? God wants people who are saved to be in adulterous, fornicating, drunken relationships? You think that's where God wants you to be? That's not what my Bible says. He says, come out of those things, doesn't He? Didn't He tell the adulterous woman, He says, neither do I condemn thee, but then He said, go and sin no more. And yet today, people would believe that they can be saved and just continue on in sin, continue loving sin, continue to participate in it. And the Bible says that He called us out of darkness. Sometimes God's people spend more time in darkness than light, don't we? Lot spent a lot of time in darkness. And he vexed his righteous soul. And I've been there. God had to come and get me like He did Lot. The Bible also teaches us, if you look in Romans chapter 13, and oh, that we might respond as God would have us to His Word. You know, we talk a lot about God's effectual call unto salvation. Are there no effectual calls after we're saved? Ought we not to be effectually called unto God to service, to holiness, to dedication of our lives? Certainly we should be. Shouldn't that call as well be effectual in my life and yours? We speak about an inward call. Does not God call inwardly unto us even after we're saved? Did He not call the apostles not only unto salvation but unto service when He said, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men? In Romans chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Isn't that true today? Is not the salvation of our bodies, souls, and spirits the fulfillment, the full recognition of God's salvation of our entire being? Is it not closer today than it was yesterday? Even than when we believed? And the Bible says in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. The day of Christ is at hand. And He says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. God is calling you and I today who are saved to wake up, to act saved, to go forth and declare His Word unto them that are lost. His day is coming, is it not? And for some of us, when He comes, we're going to be ashamed, aren't we? And so Paul speaks here and he says, listen, and I use this illustration, I don't know if I can use it anymore, saw it this morning. We stopped at the Dollar General to get a few things for the children, and went in there, and it's 9:30 in the morning, and this lady's in her pajamas. Used to go to college, and you could tell who wasn't a freshman. The freshmen, they got dressed up like they were going out. Everybody who wasn't a freshman went to class at 10 a.m. in their pajamas. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Put off the clothing of darkness. What do you wear at night? You put on pajamas. God says, take it off. Awake. Be awake. That's what we need to do, isn't it? We need to be aware of the time. We like to preach about Christ and His coming, and I look forward to that. I'm concerned about it, not because I'm lost, but I'm concerned about because there's some things I didn't do that God told me to do and I didn't do it. Now that opportunity is gone.
I'm going to give an account of that, and so will you.
There's going to be a day of reckoning, isn't there? We've got a lot of things to answer for, don't we? But I'm glad I have an advocate. I'm glad that no matter what, the foundation of God standeth sure. That doesn't mean I'm not concerned about the judgment of fire. Oh, to disappoint God, to disappoint Jesus. Why, I tell you what. I'm well pleasing in Christ, but we're to please Him after that, aren't we? We're to be a sweet smelling savor unto Him, aren't we? And yet the excellencies of Christ stand still. Because no matter what, that foundation stands sure, doesn't it? He's called us out of darkness and we dabble in it, and yet the foundation of God stands sure. You know, other people build foundations, don't they? And yet they get destroyed. Not God's. Not only does He call us out of darkness, let me just briefly mention this, that He calls us into His marvelous light. God doesn't call us into out of darkness and then just put us nowhere. Let us wander and meander around. He says, you come into my light. And first of all, I believe that means Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Amen. I believe it also speaks about His presence, into His marvelous light, into His glory and majesty, to be in the presence of God. He doesn't want us skulking about in the shadows. But He calls us into His light, to walk with Him, to be near Him, to draw nigh unto Him. Certainly that's what we need to do. And then last of all, that we are to show forth His praises, or to show forth His excellencies. Boy, I have a hard time with that. Not because He doesn't have enough excellencies to show forth. That's not the problem. The problem is because my old sinful nature, my old Adamic nature, keeps wanting to tell everybody about its excellencies. And though there not be any, He doesn't know that. And then the other problem is that we often become tongue-tied when we go to speak about Christ, isn't it? To tell others of what He has done for us. Turn, if you would, in closing to the 107th Psalm and verse. I'll read a few verses here. The 107th Psalm, I want to look first of all at verse 1 and verse 2. And then we'll skip on to a few other verses. And I believe that showing forth God's excellencies evidences that you're saved. I believe that. And I believe we're to show it, not just tell it, but show it. It's important to tell, it's better to live. Have a life that's consistent with what God has done. People aren't dumb. The Bible says in the 107th Psalm, verse 1 and 2, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Then verse 14 and 15, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. The excellencies of Christ. The depth of darkness that He overcame. How He overcame it was through the calling, which is the preaching of the gospel, and then into His marvelous light. Can we not show that forth? Shouldn't that be our chief aim and desire? To show forth the excellencies of Him who hath called us, saved us, gave Himself. You know why? That we're able to be brought out of darkness? Because Jesus went into the darkness. The Bible says that He went in and He bound Satan and He spoiled his house, didn't He? The Bible tells us that He translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And now God calls upon His church to also go forth, that we would be His mouthpiece, to preach His word, that others might be called out of darkness. I tell you, we need to show forth His excellencies. May God be praised, Brother Jerry. Thank you.